The Moral Log is back to turn your Monday into a fun day. Yeah, I used to have a lot of fun as a kid, sneaking into the kitchen in the middle of the night, popping open the jar of Nutella, and enjoying a couple of big spoonfuls. Hey, it just so happens to be World Nutella Day. Again, inquiring minds want to know, who decrees such days? Well, for those unfortunate souls who have never tried Nutella, it's a brand of brown sweetened hazelnut cocoa spread. It's manufactured by the Italian company Ferrero, and it was introduced in the mid-60s. Moral Log researcher Wikipedia informs us that Pietro Ferrero owned a bakery in Alba, an Italian town that was known for the production of hazelnuts. In 1946, he sold the initial 300-kilogram or 660-pound batch of pasta gianduja, derived from gianduja, originally sold as a solid block. Ferrero started to sell a creamy version in 1951 as Super Crema Gianduja. Well, in 1963, Ferrero's son Michele revamped a Super Crema Gianduja with the intention of marketing it throughout Europe. Its composition was modified, and it was renamed Nutella. The first jar left the factory in Alba on April 20, 1964, and yeah, great snack for those 420 munchies. The product was an instant success, and it remains widely popular. Yeah, it remains a staple in Casa Ranallo. In fact, the last time I visited the homeland, we had two jars open at once. Oh, and starting today, for a limited time only, one can wash down one's Nutella sandwich with a shamrock shake at McDonald's. Now, named after MMA legend and my business manager, Frank Shamrock. What? Wait a second. Moral Log researcher Wikipedia just tapped me on the shoulder. She knows better than to, well, I guess, interrupt me while I'm trying to do the podcast, even though her work is greatly appreciated. What is it, Misspedia? Oh, well, she's doing the world's fastest fact-checking, and she's letting me know that, in fact, that's not true. The Shamrock Shake is not named after Frank the Legend Shamrock. I apologize, Misspedia. Keep doing a fantastic job. And really, if you've ever seen Frank Shamrock's physique, you know the only shakes he's had are of the protein variety. Sensei Shamrock espouses the mantra, health is wealth. And that leads me to this story from the Good News Letter. In a historic moment for global health, the world's first malaria vaccine just started being administered in Cameroon. After successful trials in Ghana, Kenya, and Malawi, 662,000 doses of the vaccine will be given to children in Cameroon. The rollout is being hailed as a transformative chapter in Africa's public health history. And 19 more countries also plan to introduce the vaccine this year. Importantly, public health experts in the region note that communication efforts will be critical to a successful rollout, ensuring that it's trusted, children receive all four doses, and people know it's most effective in combination with other preventive measures. They plan to use health workers already trusted by the community. Now, Africa accounts for 95% of deaths from malaria, which occur primarily in children under 5 years old. With the rollout in additional African countries, the hope is to reach 6.6 million children, and the WHO says that based on data from the trial, it will save tens of thousands of lives. And of course, WHO stands for World Health Organization. not the Roger Daltrey-fronted band. Meanwhile, scientists at the University of Wisconsin-Madison are the first to develop 3D-printed brain tissue, which grows and behaves like a natural brain tissue. The group used a new 3D printing method, stacking layers of tissue horizontally rather than vertically, and using a softer bio-ink. The model will allow scientists to better study neurological diseases, including Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Moral log shout out to science. And while we are on the topic of the brain, goodnewsnetwork.org writes, playing a musical instrument has obvious rewards. For sure, you can just ask me. It's fun, it's enjoyable, you get to express yourself in different ways, and every so often you, well, have breakthroughs, and you continue to conquer bigger and bigger challenges. Now, I've never taken a piano lesson, as it were. I played accordion for what amounted to as a glass of chocolate milk back when I was a kid. I think I've shared this story with you before. When I was 6 years old, my parents asked me what I wanted to do, play ice hockey or play the accordion. And like every red-blooded Canadian youth, I chose the accordion. But I'm happy I did, because in the last few years, I've picked up the keyboard and I've been able to play by ear, by feel, by no means a professional. I play with the presets on the keyboard, figured out the chords, but I play the lead with my right hand. And anyway, it's a really does help with my self-care, and I enjoy it immensely. And according to thegoodnewsnetwork.org, it should be making me a lot smarter. Scientists working on Protect, an online study open to people aged 40 and over, reviewed data from more than 1,000 adults to see the effect of playing a musical instrument or singing on brain health. And what they found was that apart from any benefits it has for emotional well-being, it actually improved the memory and cognitive speed of the 40 and ups. Over 25,000 people have signed up for the Protect study, which has been running for 10 years. And in order to come up with this exciting finding, the team reviewed participants' musical experience and lifetime exposure to music, alongside results of cognitive testing to determine whether musicality helps to keep the brain sharp in later life. Now, the findings show that playing a musical instrument, particularly the piano, is linked to improved memory and the ability to solve complex tasks known as executive function. Continuing to play into later life provides even greater benefit. The work suggests that singing was also linked to better brain health. Does this include bad singing in the shower? Asking for a friend. Hey, the world's greatest singers and musicians were subjected to a rare rainstorm in Los Angeles yesterday as they congregated at Crypto.com Arena for the 66th annual Grammy Awards. Trevor Noah, who hosts one of my regular podcast listens, What Now with Trevor Noah, hosted the Grammys for the fourth straight year, and for a record-breaking fourth time, Taylor Swift won Album of the Year honors for Midnights, breaking a tie with Frank Sinatra, Paul Simon, and Stevie Wonder for the most all-time. Swift first won Album of the Year in 2010 for Fearless, then again in 2016 for 1989, and 2021 for Folklore. It cements Swift's position as the biggest artist of her generation. She was also named Billboard's most powerful person in music last week. And get this, she accounted for 2% of all U.S. record sales last year. She'll be adding tour sales and her discography on April 19. That is the date that she is dropping her 11th studio album, The Tortured Poets Department, not to be confused with pal of the podcast, Nicaraguan-American artist, Florida Carpet Sales album, Tortured Snoring, which drops nightly. While Swifties, like another pal of the podcast, Slaylister, rejoice, I want to take a moment to mention two goosebump-inducing performances by Joni Mitchell and Tracy Chapman. Mitchell, who won for Best Folk Album, performed at the Grammys, and this is a shocker, for the first time ever at the age of 80. It marked the latest step in a remarkable recovery after she suffered a brain aneurysm in 2015. As for the reclusive Chapman, well, she performed a duet of Fast Car with Luke Combs, whose cover of her 1988 Grammy-winning song has brought her newfound acclaim from a new generation of fans. Phoebe Bridgers quietly had the biggest night of anyone. At least statistically, the singer-songwriter won 4 Grammys, the most of anyone this year, including a shared award with SZA and 3 with her supergroup Boy Genius. Miley Cyrus picked up her first Grammy for Flowers. It won for Record of the Year. 22-year-old Billie Eilish garnered her 9th Grammy Award for Song of the Year. What Was I Made For from the Barbie movie soundtrack. It will probably win the Academy Award as well. And if you're wondering what's the difference between Song of the Year and Record of the Year, well, the Record of the Year celebrates achievement in the overall production of a recorded track and can include the producers, engineers, and performers. The Song of the Year recognizes the lyrics and composition of a track. Well, Billie Eilish had a lot of influences growing up. She was a huge Justin Bieber fan, and Bieber was one of the celebrity captains at the NHL All-Star festivities held in Toronto over the weekend. Bieber's squad, led by Maple Leaf star and All-Star Game MVP Auston Matthews, well, they selected 3 other Toronto teammates in the All-Star draft, Mitchell Marner, William Nylander, and Morgan Riley, and they went on to win the 3-on-3 slate. They beat team Connor McDavid 7-4 in the final to cap a celebratory weekend with a victory for the home fans. The Oilers' McDavid took home a $1 million check as All-Star Skills champion. Speaking of checks, shout out to my nephew Massimo, who dished out some mass destruction on the ice for his university hockey team, the SFU Red Leafs, over the weekend. Well, legendary comedian, co-creator of Seinfeld and creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David and I have something in common. We're both New York Rangers fans. However, unlike yours truly, Mr. David was gifted a brand new Stadium Series jersey. The Rangers, they put up a photo and shared a video online where they gave David a white number 93 Mika Zibanejad jersey on social media. Zibanejad is, of course, one of the Rangers' top players, and they are having a fantastic season. Could we see a rematch of the 1994 Stanley Cup Final, hailed as one of the best Stanley Cup Finals ever, where the Rangers slipped past the Canucks in 7 games, the Canucks on top of the Western Conference? But getting back to Larry David and his New York Rangers jersey, the jersey he was gifted, well, that's what the Broadway Blue Shirts will be wearing on Sunday, February 18, for their 2024 Navy Federal Credit Union Stadium Series game against the New York Islanders. The series will start the night before with the New Jersey Devils taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, both games will be at MetLife Stadium, home of the NFL's Giants and New York Jets. And just recently announced, it is the home of the 2026 FIFA Men's World Cup Final. Now, what is reportedly Curb Your Enthusiasm's final season debuted last night. I'm in the midst of a rewatch of the series after introducing it to pals of the podcast, the Rekardashians. Well, what could have been a scene straight out of an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm? Dozens of chickens made a run for it in downtown LA's Chinatown last week. It was an impromptu performance of Chicken Run. Police officers and bystanders and even an Uber driver attempted to catch about 100 chickens that escaped. The chickens are currently resting comfortably in a warm, sweet, and sour sauce. What? too soon? Today's Morovation comes from American humorist Mark Twain. The secret of getting ahead is getting started. Thank you for listening to the Morologue. Now go and hold the door open for someone and keep fighting the good fight.
Mamma mia, Mora Juana is the shit.